Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the first Sunday in Lent, I'm calling Receive It Worthily, and is by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. It seems to me that we did all we could to get the point of Ash Wednesday across. We certainly had a lot of people in church, which was wonderful. For those of you who were not here, or who were so exhausted from fasting that you couldn't keep your minds on the sermon, the point of Ash Wednesday is that unless Jesus comes back first, we are all going to die. We are made out of dust, and we are going to go back to dust. As the prayer book's burial service puts it, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The point of the first Sunday in Lent is rather different. Today's theme is, you are going to live until you die, so you had better figure out what life is all about. To help us figure out what life is all about, St. Matthew provides us with a deceptively complicated story involving Jesus and the devil. St. Matthew wrote his gospel for Jewish Christians and for Jews he hoped to convert to Christianity. He wanted to convince that audience that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, the Christ, the one whom God promised to send to earth someday to set everything right for his chosen people. St. Matthew devotes the first chapters of his gospel to showing how the life of Jesus fits a series of Old Testament prophecies, and how his life is a replay of the whole history of Israel, as the Old Testament tells it. Jesus goes to Egypt to escape murder, just as the Israelites went to Egypt to escape famine. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus on the spot at which Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. Jesus goes up onto a hill to talk about the law, just as Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the law. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is a telescoped replay of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years between the exodus from Egypt and the entrance into the Promised Land. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days after his baptism and before the start of his earthly ministry. The spot where Jesus' testing and temptation took place is on the west bank of the Jordan River, overlooking Jericho, which is where the Jordan empties into the Dead Sea. On the opposite side of the valley is Mount Pisgah, where Moses died, and where God showed him the Promised Land. That happens in the book of Deuteronomy. A good bit of Deuteronomy is taken up with Moses' final words, in which he recaps what happened to Israel under his leadership and gives his explanation for why God let it happen. If you trace back the three Bible verses which Jesus uses against the devil, you discover that they all come from Deuteronomy. Each of them, in turn, refers back to some event during the wilderness wandering when God tested Israel in a particular way. In each case, the fundamental temptation is not to trust God, not to believe that God knows what he is doing, and that if one tries to obey him and hang in with him, he will work everything out. The most important single thing Moses says in Deuteronomy in his brief explanation for why God put the Israelites through the 40 years of wandering, he says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert these past 40 years, sending hardships to test you, so that he might know what you intended to do and whether you would obey his command. If we can look at the story of Jesus' temptation through the eyes of Moses and through the lens of Deuteronomy, we discover that the story tells us what life is all about. This life we have to live before we die. Israel's wandering and testing in the wilderness stands for what all human life is. We are all wandering around. God is always sending hardships to test us. God is finding out what we do about the hardships, particularly whether or not we obey what he tells us. That's life. The epistle to the Hebrews puts Jesus' temptation forward as the most powerful proof that Jesus is really human. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. It isn't just that Jesus didn't break God's individual laws. It is that he always trusted his Father. He believed that God knew what he was doing, and that if he were confident in God and kept on obeying him, everything would work out as it should. That's exactly what I do not do. I know how to run the universe better than God does. I exempt myself from obeying his laws that I find inconvenient. When hardships and testing come along, I have a hard time letting God into them. In my better moments, I realize that I need God's help and that he doesn't send me hardships just to improve my questionable character. He sends the hardships to make me throw myself on his mercy. One of the ways we get God's help in our hardships most directly is through receiving Holy Communion. Today's exhortation reminds us that Holy Communion is for our great and endless comfort. So we need to receive it worthily. Receiving it worthily means knowing we need it and being sorry for our sins. God wants us to come to his altar with repentance and receptivity so he can help us in our hardships. That's life. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as it most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.